And it really has a lot to do with what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about new mission. Evangel's the new mission God has given us, the new assignment, the new plan that he's giving us. You know, these guys went down with an idea of what they wanted to accomplish, what their mission was. We should have an idea of what God's called us to do too. Actually, you're going to find out after we get finished tonight that what he did down there is what we should do here all the time. It's just that the church is screwed up, you guys. We can't help it. We just can't help it. We have got over the last 20, 30 years into this habit of being like spiritual consumers that come in to get, and it's really messed us up, because the life that Jesus wants us to have with each other and the life that he wants us to make available to people outside the church is a really difficult proposition in this atmosphere. Every time you come back from a missions trip, don't you feel like, you know, that's what we did down there was the most important thing, and this is kind of lame, you know? It's just like, I want to do more of that, but then it's amazing how quickly you fall back into the non-missional view of life. And I believe God wants to get our attention in this season. Not because he wants us to get to work or because we're lazy and he wants us to do something, but he really does want to change the whole way we look at our lives together and our lives with him. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So there's a lot of change that's in the air. I've realized that as I was thinking about tonight and sharing tonight and all the things that are going on personally, that this, it's kind of like, I feel like I said yes to something without any real idea of what the implications were, you know? I mean, we've talked about some of the implications of changing the time we meet and the focus, the whole strengthening families thing, but I don't think I've really grasped the potential that exists in what he's calling us to, not just for us, but for the whole world. I think there's a shift that we're in right now. And it's not because God's trying to fix Evangel. He's about to do some things, and he's preparing us, aligning us for what he's about to do. And you, if you're in that situation where he's about to do something different and he wants you to shift or align yourselves, you best do that. Because I think there's a lot of people in the body of Christ who are going to be looking around a couple years from now and going, oh my gosh, we should have paid attention to what was going on earlier. It's kind of like we've missed it. How do we catch up? You know, it's like the picture of the 10 virgins with their lamps. And, you know, it's like they're scattering, wondering where they're going to get oil for their lamps. And I don't want to be that way. And I don't want you to be that way. I don't want Longview Kelso to be that way. Actually, I don't want the United States to be that way. I want us to be ready for what God's about to do. So he said there's going to be a new focus, and it's going to be strengthening families, strengthening individuals, strengthening congregations. And I really believe that it's already started. We just need to start glorifying God in it. We need to start proclaiming that, you know, when AJ was up here a couple weeks ago, was that a couple weeks ago or last week? I've lost track. Wasn't that an example of strengthening families? I mean, like, my gosh, if you'd walked with Debbie and Rick and AJ over the years, you knew how significant that was. I knew it last night when we were sitting around my grandmother's bedside. I could feel things strengthening. I could feel things getting stronger. And I'm excited about that. So we're aligning ourselves, making ourselves ready for that strengthening. Remember the story that we read about Jesus wanting to go to the other side of the lake? He's saying to us, to all of us, I'm strengthening families. Want to come? I'm going to strengthen families. Come with me. Align yourselves with me. Get ready for this. You guys, when you get married, you have no idea how powerful that is going to be. And you, I know it's fighting right now. It's hard. You're struggling. You're trying to stay focused. You're trying to keep it, hold it all together until the 13th of December. But there's much more going on spiritually than you realize. There's a lot at stake, not just for you and your family, you two as a family and your kids, but for the larger family. You know, Something significant is happening, and God is strengthening families, and we need to align ourselves with what he's doing. That's why we're making the changes. Last week when I was talking about a new time, it's not a new time that we meet on Sunday mornings. It's the way we spend our time, the way we use our time, the way we look at time. You know, the latest study shows that people are willing to give 1.8 hours a week to spiritual things, not to go to church, for anything spiritual, 1.8 hours, they're willing to give to spiritual things a week. Most of us spend more time watching TV in a day than that, you know? And so somehow I think there's a shift coming where we're going to find ourselves giving more time to spiritual things per week than ever before. And I thank God for TriHop and the vehicle that it is for us spending time together. I mean, I just think of how much Chris has grown as a worship leader because TriHop was here. He could have never grown that much had he not had the opportunity to just grab his guitar, get up in this place and start worshiping God and learning how to worship, learning how to hear God and everything that goes with it. It's just been such a huge blessing. It's been a blessing for me because I'm always in that position where I find myself oftentimes in that position where I'm the one who's working here. I'm the one who's busy. In fact, you know, that's my greatest struggle with going through this thing with my grandmother's death is me. Because you know how many people I've seen pass away? Lots. I mean, Kevin and I, we used to work in the intensive care unit together. How many people did we see pass away there? And Karen too. You know, and then, so there was this time in the hospital where I was in the emergency room when people were passing away, taking people off ventilators and they passed away. I saw a lot of people go through that process of death. Some of it was really tragic. Some of it was horrifying. And some of it was peaceful, but not very much was peaceful. And then the first 6 years I was a pastor, I was volunteering at hospice with people that I don't even know, people that are total strangers, walking with them through the death process. I learned a tremendous amount through that experience. But the bottom line is I saw a lot of people die. I don't mind doing funerals. That's weird. That's really weird. How many people do you know like that? I mean, I love doing weddings too, but I don't mind memorial services. I don't mind funerals. I like the fact that, and I've developed some remarkable friendships over the years. But what the end result is, as I stand here tonight, is I'm a little bit businesslike when it comes to death. And that kind of freaks me out. I mean, I shouldn't be this business. I shouldn't be this okay with things. And I'm wondering where my emotions are and, you know, where do I do? And I feel like I should grieve, but there's like no time. You know, I'm busy doing things, making sure this gets set and making sure everybody's okay and caring for people. And yet I was realizing tonight as we were getting ready and everything seemed to be going wrong. Patrick was watching me scurry about trying to fix things. And I realized I've got to be real. I can't just trudge my way through this thing. I have to be real. That's what I encourage you to do, don't I? When you're going through those situations is connect with it. You know, feel what it feels like. It's important that you feel this stuff as you walk through it. Don't walk around it. So I only say that, I only confess that because, you know, it's a problem for me. It's not necessarily a problem that's going to make any difference to much anybody else because you guys get the benefit of it. But it's not all that great to walk through death and not feel it. Or be there for everybody else and not feel it myself. And so I'm praying that, you know, that God will walk me through that. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not here to say that I'm going to break into a mess right now and start crying. That's not the point. The point is, this is real. What's going on around us is real. This whole thing is real. Our whole lives with God here on earth is real. This is not about church. It's about living with God. It's about living with God in us. You know, that's what came out of Brent when he got down there was Christ in you. That's what came out. You know, that's what's coming out right now. That's what's in our midst all the time. So it's unfair to God for us to come here every Sunday and sit like an audience and listen to somebody talk We should be praying for Wayne and Jeannie. We should be praying for people. We should be encouraging each other and coming alongside of each other. It all needs to happen. All of it's important. All of it's important. So what we do with our time is really important. We need to adjust. We need to align ourselves and address the need that's at hand. The reason why we're making changes is because God's strengthening families, not because we want to try something new or do something different. He said he was strengthening families. So what do we need to do to align ourselves with that? What do we need to do to change ourselves? Well, one of the things I think that we need to do, and now I'm actually going to get to the notes, is we need to change the mission. They went down on a missions trip. It was a mission. They had a plan. They knew what they wanted to accomplish. But it wasn't like they ran it like a business. Like, Brent, you know, you knew what you wanted to do, but you were totally flexible. For one, it wasn't probably your idea to work 8 hours and get up at 4 a.m. That's probably not your plan, but that's what worked best when you were down there. And so we have to kind of look at what's going on around us. And, you know, the community house is here, and the emergency support shelter is here, and there's people that are homeless all around us. So how do we align ourselves with God strengthening this environment that we exist in? How do we make ourselves part of his thing instead of asking him to be part of ours? Because that's typically what we do. We say we're going to meet on Sundays at 5 o'clock, and then we invite him to come. And he's saying, you know, the other 7 days, six, almost 7 days a week, I'm doing stuff too, and I want you to come. You know, I want you to join me in what I'm doing. And so that's what a mission is. A mission means that being missional is what I'm talking about. Having that kind of, being the kind of people who are ready to do what he wants to do and not just invite him to do what we want to do. And it sounds like I'm bashing the church, and maybe I am. I shouldn't, because I love the body of Christ. But I don't think this is what he has in mind right now. And it doesn't mean that I want to, you know, repent for everything we've done in the past or anything like that. Maybe that's a good idea, but I don't think so. That's not where his heart is. His heart is like, we're going to the other side. Let's go to the other side. It's, you don't have to repent for being on this side to leave and go to the other side. Just go to the other side. This is where we're going. We're going on this mission. We have a mission. And there's a difference between mission and vision. Mission is what, vision is really who you are. It's a picture of who you are, who Christ has called us to be. Mission is what you do. How do you live your life? How do you spend your time? Where are you at in life? Are you ready for what he wants to do? And so I think I'm going to use this word missional community tonight, and it's a word that we never use. There are some congregations in the United States who are moving more towards being missional communities. So that's if you go on the internet and Google missional community, you'll find a lot of information. Find a lot of groups doing that. The closest one I'm to is Solid Rock in Portland, and Jean-Marc Comer is the pastor there. Last spring, he about had a nervous breakdown because he was doing way too much and accomplishing way too little. And he just about lost it. And so he took the summer off. He's moved his family down into the Pearl District in Portland where their church is, and he's encouraged a couple of the families to come down there in the same block and live with him. They sold their house in the suburbs, and they've moved down to downtown Portland, and they're living there. And they're doing church there. They're living there. They call that a missional community. It's a group of people who are called to live out their relationship with God amongst people who don't know Jesus yet. We can do the same thing here in Longview. I really believe it with all my heart. A missional community is a family of missionary servants who make disciples who make disciples. That's what a missional community is. A family. They're a family. We probably have the makings of a couple families in here. You know, we are, evangelists like a family, but we're a little bit big for a family. In this family, if we were to be the family, all of us in this room, about 5 or 6 people would talk and everybody else would listen. The most assertive and aggressive people would talk and everybody else would just listen. You need it to be small enough to be functional. You need it to be able to work. You need it to be able to, our lives to be able to intersect. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. So a family, a missional community is a group of believers who live and experience life together as a family. They see God as their Father because of their knowledge and love for Jesus and the transformation in their lives that comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's a mouthful, but what it's saying is because we are who we are, we live a certain way with each other and intersect with each other. The house of prayer, Tri-Hop, has really been a huge advantage to us in that area because it gives us a chance to live together a couple times a week and just live together. If you come down on here on Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday, you will find people who are kind of dwelling together. Some of the nights are really different. It's very aggressive and active on Thursday nights. There's a lot of movement, a lot of things that are going on Thursdays. If you come on Friday, it's Chris and Leah and a couple other people, but it's no less powerful. If you walk in the room from the outside, you'll engage with God because of what happens on Friday nights and Thursday nights and Tuesday nights and Monday nights. Because it gives us a chance to live together. It gives us a chance to live our walk with God out together. It gives us a chance to be family. They have known God, they have and know God's love, so they love each other, sharing their money, time, resources, needs, hurts, successes, etc. They know each other's stories and are familiar with each other's strengths and weaknesses. That's not true of a church. A church is too big, and it only happens for a couple hours each Sunday, and you can't get to know each other. It just doesn't work. Now, I'm not talking about starting home groups. We've been down that road before where we have a systemized approach to us getting to know each other in relationship. For some people, it works. For most people, it doesn't really work. I haven't seen it work over the long haul. Because what we're asking people to do is meet together more often, but we really don't change the way we think about each other. Or we really don't change the way we do life together. So something else has to change. And there's a couple of the scriptures here that are really important for looking at this whole thing. Let's just look at John 1. He came to his own people, Jesus, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus gives us the right to live like this. We have the right to live like this. We don't have the obligation to live like this. He gives us the right to be missional people. He gives us a right to be on mission with each other. That's a big deal. That's a big part of why we're together. And he gives us the right to be a family. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from a human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And that's what needs to happen. We need this stuff birthed in us. We don't need to just start acting differently. We need something birthed in us. What I want birthed in us is what Brent came back with, that sense of mission. It made a difference that he went to Mexico. It made a difference that he left here for a week and did something like that. It affected him. He looked at children differently. He looked at his time differently. There was nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. You know, there was no game on TV. It was just what he had right then and there. I think that exists in our city all the time. It's just so we don't get it because we're too busy with our jobs and with our responsibilities and with our entertainment and exercise. And you don't have that on a missions trip. All you have is the mission. And somehow we've got to turn back towards the mission. So there's families, missionaries. Like Jesus, the family of God has been sent into the world to proclaim the good news to the kingdom, the gospel. A missional community is more than a Bible study or a home group that cares for believers. A missional community is made up of you and I, spirit-filled, spirit-led people who reorientate their lives together with the goal of making disciples who make disciples. See, discipleship is not a class that you have at church. Discipleship is what happens when you are one and you're spending time with someone who isn't one yet. That's what discipleship is. Discipleship isn't something you learn. It's something you are and then something other people see and they want to be one too. It's how most of us grew up. There aren't a whole lot of young people here. Most of us grew up in this. We grew up. We have become disciples. Somebody spent time with us. We saw it in somebody. Whether it was a Bible study or a home group or even on Sundays, we saw it in somebody and we wanted to be like that. We need to be those people who are around other people who want to be like that too. Servants, a missional community serves those around them in the same way Jesus would serve them. In fact, he is serving them through us. As we serve people this way, we give them a visible, tangible witness to God's kingdom and the power of the gospel that can change their lives. He's called us to live this way. Look what it says in Matthew 20. But Jesus called them together and said, you know what the problem with scripture is? If you've been in the church very long, you've heard it and done it before. And so I'll read this and you'll have a tendency to go, oh yeah, I know that one. I've heard that before. But listen, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. Does that exist in our country right now? Is that the way we live? Is that our nation? Is that our government? Is that our society? Okay, so what does it say? But among you, it will be different. Are we different? Do we live our lives differently? Among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is such a challenging thing to do, to live our lives as servants. I mean, I'm not talking about doing the things that need to be done so that the church works. In some ways, it will be best for us to stop doing all that stuff and actually be those people, not to just do stuff, you know? And it's like the lowest place we can set the bar is to just do stuff all the time. We need to raise the bar so we're not just, we're doing things, but we're doing them because that's who we are. Because that's we're trying to work out. I mean, I think of Mike and doing men's Bible study. I mean, at one point it may have been a Bible study. But now it's like we go out and live with Mike for the night. You know, and he cooks, or Renee cooks, and he serves. You know, but he takes care of us. He's there. He provides a place for us. He provides a space for us to meet. And we go out there and we can't really do much else but spend time with Mike in his home and just live with him. It's one of the best things that we have going for us right now, guys, is the ability to go out to Mike's. On Tuesdays, we come down here and we sit around in this big room, all 15 of us or so, and we listen to somebody talk about the Bible that they've studied and they've tried to learn this section of scripture and they're telling us what they think. We sit around and listen to them, and we can talk about what they're saying, and then we pray for them when they're finished. And it's like being in a living room. We could do that probably somewhere else, but this is convenient. It's central. But we spend time together. I mean, hopefully Sundays become more like that, where it's less about we've got a sermon to deliver and we've got a song list to follow. But it's more like, I love the way Dan leads worship, where he just says, let's just see what God has for us tonight. And I think was there a time when you changed the direction? Yeah, because he sensed God might be doing something different. So instead of doing this song, I'm going to do this song. That kind of flexibility, that kind of listening to God is really important when we gather together. It may seem like I'm following my notes. I doubt it, because I'm sure if you got notes in front of you, you're thinking, when is he going to get to the rest of this stuff? But the reality is I don't really care, because this is my one chance to convince you, the one chance during the week to convince you that it's worth living your life differently. It's worth it to do it different. And I don't care about what needs to get accomplished tonight. What we need to talk about is what's real and what's alive and what's right in front of us right now. We're here. You've got Jesus in you. You know more scripture than you can even know what to do with. You know enough about the Bible to change things in this city. The problem is that it stays in here for the most part. It's more, I don't mean that way. That sounds like I'm angry, like I'm not happy with you. That's not it at all. It's just that if we just settle for this and don't want to be more, not do more, but just be more outside this place, I don't think we're going to be able to keep up with where God's going. And I want, it's not like I want to keep up with him, but I want to do what he's doing. I want to go to the other side of the lake. I want to go there together. I don't want to lose anybody. So I'm taking some time to do that. So we need to make disciples. Who make disciples? So our goal is to experience missional community, and that's the primary structure for making disciples. Now, that said, it doesn't exist here yet. I'm saying something with a vision for something that we don't have yet. But I think that if we are going to see disciples made, it's not going to happen on Sundays. So when is it going to happen? If 100 people came to evangel next week that don't know Jesus, how are they going to get discipled? I hope you don't think it's come next Sunday at 5. You know, they're going to want to spend time with you. They're going to want to get to know you. And all of them can't go to Debbie's house. You know, the rest of us have to take up our, you know, we have to take our place in the whole thing. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, they're not here yet. And exactly. So let's, you know, as it says in Romans 12, verse 2, let's change the way we think now, so we're more aligned with what might be just around the corner. And I think that's missional community. Our goal is to experience missional community, that being the primary structure for making disciples. A great example of how this whole thing works is the SOMA group of churches up in Tacoma, and how they look at missional communities. And so this is what they say. There's three parts to a missional community: gathering together, and going up more, spending more time with this whole vertical pursuit like we do on Sundays. When we do worship together on Sundays, it's vertical. We're focused on him. We're not really focused on each other. It's all about ministering to him, because it's just like we were doing tonight when Dan was leading us to sing about God's love for us and our love back for him. It's this interchange of love. That's what happens a lot on Sundays during worship, is this interchange. He loves us, we love him, so he loves us back, so we love him more. We don't love him more. But, I mean, it's a back and forth thing. It's an engaging with God, and that happens when we gather together. Time in prayer, fellowship, and serving others is priceless. We always want to stay hungry for more of God, and what he says is vitally important. So we gather, then we grow, going through more together. This is like walking through stuff, like my grandmother dying or Nina's grandfather dying, and us walking through those things together. Or, you know, the things that Wayne and Jeannie are going through, and they come up here and we pray for them together. That's walking through things together. Taking food out to Steve and Carmen or Lori and Dan is walking together. That's us walking with each other. It's engaging with each other. It's really important that we walk together that way. We need to grow together. Listen to this. As things in the world become more confusing, more desperate, and the world is assaulted by increasing darkness, we will be presented with a choice. Will we choose to go through difficult times or around them? We are being prepared to advance the kingdom of God and to do it together. That's what we're being made ready for, is to advance the kingdom. We're not being made ready for bigger Sunday church services. We're not being prepared to add people to the church. We're being prepared to see the kingdom advanced. You know, we could do powerful ministry at the emergency support shelter for the next year, and they may never walk in this building. Doesn't mean that we haven't touched their lives and haven't encouraged them and supported them and strengthened them. They don't have to come here and be part of evangel for us to be successful. We just have to do what he's told us to do. We have to. So we're going to do this dinner in December where we prepare a whole meal over here. A whole meal. Not just meal, but the table, the setting, the gifts for all the girls and their kids over here. We prepare it all over here. And then in one fell swoop, within about 20-25 minutes, we take the whole thing that's been prepared over here and set it up over there and just walk out of the room. We don't stay around for them to say, "Oh, thank you so much, Evangel, for doing this for us." And we don't, you know, kind of linger around the corner and see if they're really enjoying themselves. We just leave them with this amazing dinner and these gifts that make them feel like they're special when they don't feel very special. And it changes them. It's not about feeling good about what we're doing. It's about being obedient to God and the things that he's calling us to do. Okay. So there's five components in a missional community. First is a meal together. That's pretty self-explanatory. One of the most intimate things that you can do with people is eat together. And it's not an excuse to eat together. It's just that it's always been a place where people have gathered. They've gathered around food. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, you know, we're going to go on a weight loss program and whatever. You know, we're not going to do that meal thing because it's just gluttonous. You're missing the point. It's intimate to have a meal with people. It's powerful to have a meal with people. So a family meal is part of it. Missional living, it's not just about what happens within that group, but we have to have a purpose. You know, let me just paint a picture of what it might look like. It might look like this. You figure out who lives within a 3 or 4 block radius of you in the area you're in. Like, how many people are in the Old West Side or will be in the Old West Side? So there's this group of people. Anybody over here? So there's this group of people, and maybe you have a couple friends of yours that you know used to go to church, but they don't anymore. So you invite them to come and meet at your house once a week and have a meal and talk about the Bible a little bit. Keep Jesus at the center of things. You don't want to ignore him and just have fun together, but you want to keep Jesus at the center of things. And then you make plans and you say, you know, in a couple weeks, let's have a garage sale, only we're going to do it different than anybody's ever had one before, and we're going to make stuff available to people in ways that we've never seen before because we just want to bless our neighbors, you know? And maybe you have a garage sale and you get all the things together and then you say, we're going to distribute the money that comes in among our neighbors and just bless them and say, you know, that garage sale we had, we got this much money, we want you to have some of it. Looks like you could probably need it. Or maybe just to single moms or something in your neighborhood. And so you have a mission. There's a mission behind it. There's a reason behind the doing things that you're doing. Or you get together and you say, you know, we just want to help this guy that, you know, Jack who lives a couple houses down, you know who he is, right? Yeah, I know. I've seen him out there and he just looks like he's sad. Well, let's figure out what we can do to cheer him up a little bit and just do something together. That's a community on mission. It's a missional community, you know, and that's, so it might be something like that that happens. You know, or it may be that you want to see homelessness impacted in the city. And so you're not going to wait for Evangel to have a homeless program or program to meet the homeless needs, but you just do it as a missional community. You have 4 or 5 families that are getting together weekly and having a meal and talking about God, and you want to do something that makes a difference. And so you decide to put together some care packs, and you go down and hand them out to people, and you're doing the thing. You're not waiting for Love Overwhelming to get their act together and do it for you. You're just doing it. If the body of Christ in our community became more missional in the way that they looked at themselves, everything in our community would change. Not because of the programs, but because of the people who are changing. And that's what I'm talking about. So we need the big meetings. We need the gatherings on Sunday because we need to come here and be refreshed and encouraged and strengthened. We need that. But we also need smaller communities, 3 or 4 families that get together frequently and just spend time getting to know each other, becoming vulnerable with each other, caring for each other, walking with each other. So they go through difficult times, you go through difficult times together. And then they have these, if you look under 4, DNA, this is a small group that they have developed. The DNA is an acronym. It stands for Discover, Nurture, and Act. And it's kind of like soap. Have any of you ever been a part of a soap group? Besides Brent? Yeah. So it's a study group. It's where you learn and grow in the Bible, but it's also a place of accountability. So you discover, you spend some time asking each other, what's going on in your life? What are you being tempted by? Where's your battle at this week? You know, what are you fighting this week? And so we can pray for you and walk with you. And then, you know, and then nurture is the response to that battle. You pray for them, you encourage them, you spend some time in the Word, you walk together, and then what are we going to do with this? How are we going to? And so it's 3 or 4 men getting together, or 3 or 4 women getting together every week and just living life together in a small group. And the reason why it's small that way is because everybody gets a chance to talk. You don't have big mouths like me in the group that just monopolize the conversation all the time. You know, everybody has a chance to talk. So you need the big group, you need the medium-sized group, and you need the small group in order to grow spiritually. Does it sound like a lot of work? Does it sound like I'm asking you to sign up for a program? No, we're not starting these next week. We're not doing this next week. I'm saying this because something's got to change in us. Because if we're going to create disciples, what are they going to look like? Us. How many more of you do you want in the church? Are we going to advance the kingdom if they all look like us? Something's got to change. Something's got to change in us. We got to live life differently. I'm not saying there's something wrong with you and you need to be a different person, but I think the Lord's waking us up right now. He's waking us up. He's waking us up to who he is and what he's about to do. I'm not saying this because we need to buck up and get our act together. I'm saying this because this is about to unfold right now on the earth. Everything's about to change on the earth. So if we're ready for change, if we're aligned for change, we're going to see some remarkable things happen. If not, we're just going to keep gathering and, you know, enjoy being together, which I guess is okay. But I want to see the world changed. Sorry. I mean, I want to see Kelso Longview changed. I want to see it changed. I don't, you know, 5 years from now, I want Kelso Longview to be a totally different place. A place where there's a spiritual vitality and hunger and thirst for more of God. How's that going to happen if we just do the same thing all the time and we aren't willing to change with God and how he's changing things? And the other thing is, you can't just depend on the young generation, the next generation, to fix all the things that we don't think are working very well. It's not like, well, when they get to the place of leadership, you know, they can do it the right way, or they can do what you're talking about. I'm kind of tired right now. I want to go watch the Seahawks. You know, it's just like we can't wait for somebody else to do this. We've got to change, and so we're more aligned with what God's about to do. So, Dan, could you guys come on up? And I want to go back into worship, and I don't want you to think that I'm unhappy with us or that. We need to fix things. For gosh sakes, I am so excited about you. I'm so excited about what God is doing in you. I want to encourage you and say, you know, what you're doing here at TriHop at night, keep doing it. Get louder. Get more excited, more boisterous. If you have a vision from God, don't keep it in. Tell somebody. If you feel like we're supposed to change the direction that things are going and we're supposed to move powerfully in a certain direction, then don't just sit on it. Let's do the things that God's put in front of us and do them with passion and excitement and anticipation. Because what I'd really love to see in Kelso Longview is people coming from other places, because this is where missions happens. This is where we're on mission. So instead of Brent having to go to Mexico, people are coming to Brent because they've heard about the things that he's doing here in the city, the things that he's accomplishing here. I want them to come to Evangel not because they want to join a church, but because they want to join a movement that's starting up in Kelso Longview. Who cares how many people come to your church? I care whether what we do when they come is move the kingdom forward, advance the kingdom. Right here. Why not here? Why do you want to go to Bethel? Why do you want to go to Kansas City? I mean, let's do it. Let's be those people right here. Let's before anybody realizes what hit them, let's change and do it here. And so they're all going, wait, what was that? Yeah, it's already here. Amen? So let's spend a little bit of time rehearsing this whole thing with God. If you feel like everything I've told you is redundant because you're already doing it, then just say thank you, Jesus, that you're listening and moving with him. If you feel like you're way behind and you're never going to catch up, then I just look at Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing, and I want to be part of what you're doing. If you think that this is just showmanship and I have a plan to put you to work in Jesus' name, don't worry about it. Just say, thank you, Jesus. I love you and who you are in me and in this city, and I want to go with you. Jesus is saying, I'm going to go to the other side. Come with me. He's not saying, I want you to stay on this side and build a program. He's saying, I'm going to the other side. Come with me. Let's go to the other side. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for putting me in Kelso Longview in this day and this time. Thank you for putting us and Evangel together. Thank you for the potential that exists in this group of people who are ready for you and waiting to see what you're going to do next. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for stirring us up tonight and causing our hearts to anticipate where we're going together. Take this group of people, us, me, and give me a missional focus in life. Give me a mission, Lord. Let this be a missionary outreach to Kelso Longview that's unlike anything we've ever seen before. We just open our hearts and minds to you. Take us with you wherever you go, Lord Jesus. Make us missionaries right here in our own hometown.
Going through my mind is that Jesus told us to be servants. And for each one of that, us, it's going to look different. We all have different interests. We all have different areas that we can make a difference in. And so what I want to pray for Evangel is that, Lord, you would guide us, that you would open our minds to see what it is that you would have us do. But we don't all have to do the same thing. We don't all have to have a Bible study. We don't all have to go out and knock on doors. We can have people over. We could crochet a layette for a baby. We could get involved in the community in some way. And that way our influence is going to be making a difference. Just to be somewhere where God can use us. And so I pray, Father, that you would just open our eyes, open our minds to hear and see what you want to do with us. And that you would open the doors that we could go through. Doors that are going to be delightful to us and make a difference in the community. Make a difference in the places where we go. And even the smallest thing, Lord, like you washed the disciples' feet. And that was a way of being a servant to them. Just help us to find the ways that... not literally, but in a sense, we can wash the feet of those around us in a manner that's loving and kind, and so release your kingdom and let your kingdom be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just help us to make a difference right where we are in our neighborhood, around the people around us. Just everywhere we go, help us to be you. Help us to let you live in us and through us and to do the work that you want done in this community. In Jesus' name.
So when Jesus said, we're going to the other side, it's like when he spoke in creation. He spoke and it was going to happen. So we are going to the other side. It's just a matter, our choice is to get into the boat.
Yes.
And not to worry how we're going to get there, but we are going to get there.
Amen.
Second thing, three things that are going on. The second thing that we were singing earlier, the song about opening the gates. And there's two things I saw in that. That, Lord, open the gates over this city.
Amen.
That the kingdom of God would come through. That it, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit would be released upon and over the city. That the city would live out its destiny that you have spoken over it. The other thing in opening the gates is for the churches here. we come and we get in these places, and I think sometimes we close the gates behind us. And Lord, we need to open those gates. We need you to strengthen us that we would open those gates for two things, so that people can come in, but that we can go out empowered by him.
Amen.
Last thing, when I heard that we were getting new neighbors, Rick and Lisa are moving just down the street from us. The thing that went through my head is that is going to change the atmosphere of our neighborhood. And oh, I know it is. I know it. It's going to be good. Trust me, a few years ago, I would have been way more freaked out than I am now. But God is going to change the atmosphere. And if he's doing that in our neighborhood, he's doing it in yours. And it just, I shared with Diane that earlier today. I said, hun, you know, Pingle's moving in is going to change the atmosphere. She said it already has. One of our other neighbor gals goes to church, but she's been over a couple times talking with Diane about God things. And so he's already beginning to move. And so, Lord God, we say yes. We are thankful that you are an active, living, moving God. And Lord, we just want to be with you and move with you and be you to those around us, Lord. We don't have it together. We don't know the program. We don't know how to do that other than to say yes and come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
When Dan started singing this song, I thought, the song comes from the scripture in Luke, and it's talking about when the angel comes to Mary, and he says to Mary, you shall conceive a son. And the angel says that Elizabeth, who has been barren, will become pregnant. And what it says right before that, or right in the midst of that, it says, for nothing is impossible with God. And it says, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. And Lord, we just pray you would raise up our faith level. Raise up our faith level so that we would say, nothing is impossible with our God. And as you bring forth a new birth, as you bring forth a new movement, Lord, we would say, let it be according to your will, your plans and your purposes, Lord. Lord, let us respond like Mary responded. We want what you want, Lord. We want what you have, Lord. Not ourselves, but what you have, Lord. Lord, let us be open to that, Father God. And Lord, give us the faith to believe that. Give us faith to believe that nothing is impossible in you. And that we can move forward into what you are birthing and what you are moving in our midst, Father God.
I heard it's Ezekiel 1:9. Their wings touched one another. Their faces did not turn when they moved. Each went straight forward. Lord, we want to be like the living creatures, and we want our wingspan, our span to touch one another. And we want to look towards you, and we want to move forward, Lord. We want to touch those around us, Lord. We want to touch those around us, totally and completely changing the atmosphere, Lord. We ask for the anointing of Ezekiel 1:9 to fall upon a community of believers, Lord. Let it fall. Anoint us with Ezekiel 1:9, Lord.
I'll follow that with Ezekiel 47. It's kind of long, so I won't read it out, but it's Ezekiel's being led down a stream. And when he starts in the stream, he's in ankle-deep water. And as he continues, he gets to knee-deep, waist-deep, and pretty soon he's swimming in the water. And at that point, the stream is bringing life to those everything around it, even into when the stream flows into the Dead Sea, it brings life, it brings fish, it brings trees. With the Word, with the water being the Word, when we stay in it, when we first step into the Word, we don't get the revelation that, you know, the deeper revelation. We're just in knee deep or ankle deep of water. But when we stay in the Word and we live in the Word, we bring life to those people around us.
Some people that really feel that maybe they are just not sure of how it's going to look, or even if they have a place or a but the Lord says that you all of us, all means all of us have a place in the kingdom. All of us have a place. We are all individuals, but we're all working together. We're all choosing to go into the boat. We're all choosing to go across the lake. We're all choosing, as is in Ezekiel, to go forward in one direction. That we are individuals, and we all are unique, and we are all needed. That's what the Lord says. There's not one that should be left behind, because you have what God needs to complete this picture, to get over to the other side. Not one should be left behind. So if there's any doubt, if there's anything that you think, oh, I don't know about all of this, just know that the Lord has this, and that He's the one that's going to show you where you belong, where you fit, and there's not one that will be left. You are important. Jesus loves you, and He's not leaving you out. So, Lord, we just thank You that we're all unique, that You created us in such a way that we all fit together to be able to go to the other side, to be able to go forward, touching the wings of each other, being able to do this together. This is not a one-man show. This is not a one-person show. This is everyone together. The unity of the body and the bride, it delights the Lord. And he is not going to quit until we're all together doing it together. He loves you. There should be no doubt. There should be no doubt. He loves us. And He's delighted in what's happening at Evangel. So thank You, Lord. We speak life into Evangel. We speak life into our city. We speak life into our neighborhoods. We say, Holy Spirit, You're changing the atmosphere in this region. You're changing the atmosphere starting tonight. The atmosphere is changing. The kingdom is coming. We're pulling it down from heaven. And we're saying, we want the blueprints, Lord. Can we just bring them down? Let's bring them down so we can see where You want us to go.